Hi, I'm Guy, and this week I'm drinking a cup of coffee.
What?
I'm drinking a cup of coffee, and I will explain to you later.
All right, I'm Alex, and I'm drinking a Toast Brewery American Pale Ale.
It's almost time at the bar.
And this is the Last Call podcast. This week, like every week, we will be talking everything and anything, both pub-related and otherwise, in the signature fashion of people who have just got to the last drink of the night. And to start us off, cup of coffee, what's the story there?
Well, there's a few reasons. So one, I am desperately, like desperately trying to lose weight.
Gotcha.
It is unbelievably difficult for me. I've been on YouTube and stuff watching so many things to try and find out why it is so difficult for me. I would say I probably exercise 6 times a week. I don't eat that badly. Healthy breakfasts. I intermittent fast, so I only eat between 12 and 8, and I just don't know what it is, but it's just not working for me. So, like, another factor into all this stuff I'm already doing is now I'm not going to drink any more alcohol.
Not drinking, like, 20 pints of Guinness.
On a Friday. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer.
Secondly, I'm a bit tired, and I need a bit of energy. And thirdly, so anybody out there who plays Warzone, Season 4 just dropped, and I've been playing quite late into the night with my squad. Shout out to Jack Fraser, Callum Fraser, and Chris. Sorry, I don't know your last name, but you are Danish. That's all I know about you. So,
Jack Kellerman, Danish Chris.
Exactly. So the coffee is there to fuel me, because tonight we're dropping back into the Battle Royale mode, and we're hopefully going to get that W.
Wow.
And
all
I
right.
do enjoy coffee, but I think the main reason is
I enjoy a good cup of coffee.
Is because I am really struggling to lose weight at the moment. It doesn't seem to be coming down whatsoever. So this is another ingredient into the recipe of how do I stop being a fat bitch.
Well, I'm sticking with beer.
Good man.
I'm drinking beer, and this beer saves the planet.
That's the best kind.
This is Toast Brewery, so I've been reading a little bit about them. They are combating the climate change issues caused by food production and food waste. And what they do is they brew their beer from surplus fresh bread. Bakeries that get rid of their bread daily and things like that. They use that, presumably for the yeast, to brew this beer. Their motto is, "Here's to change." I can drink to that. And this American Pale Ale, you can see on the can there, is tropical, zesty, and planet-saving. And 4.8%.
Oh, wow. Well, cheers to that.
I thought it'd be nice if I started to talk a little bit more about the beers that I drink. I'm not sure anybody cares, but I'm always drinking something different.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I saw someone in the podcast family on Twitter had tweeted out, what's the best thing about doing a podcast, or what have you found to be the best thing since doing a podcast? And I think one of the things on my list would be drinking all these different beers every week. I like to try new beers, but this is every Friday, something different. And also, when do we hang out like this?
We don't really, actually. We've seen each other more than ever, really, because
yeah, 100%.
You're in Bath, I'm in London, and we would never usually Skype or Zoom or anything like that. So, yeah, there you go. That's my favourite thing of doing the podcast. Spending more time with my older brother.
Oh, I think that's my favourite part too. Moving on. I thought we could be very British for a second and talk about the weather.
I hate it. Fuck off.
It was 2 weeks ago. We were talking about barbecues. I don't know what it's like for you, but today, Bath got hit with torrential rain. I went down into my pub, which is currently closed, and it's flooded.
Ooh, that's not good.
I'm not shitting you. I went down, and it's just pouring through the ceiling. So that's what I'm working on. I'll tell you what I'll do is, at zero benefit to people listening, is I will send you a video of what's happening in my pub that nobody listening to this podcast can enjoy.
Yours is an old building, though, isn't it? Like, really old.
It is an old listed building, and it is slowly falling to bits. It does not like the rain.
Oh, shit. That's really bad.
Yeah.
That's not even like, oh, a bit of water's come in, that is drizzling from the ceiling.
That is, there's barely anything between the pub and just the open sky and the wrath of God.
Yeah, wow, that's really bad.
So that's been my day, by and large.
Yikes. No, we haven't had that here, but the weather has been awful, and it makes lockdown so much worse.
Yeah, it's depressing.
I know. I've had to run in the rain, because if I don't run in the rain, I just don't run. And that's pretty awful.
An unpleasant experience.
Mm. Well, it always reminds me of the Bath Half Marathon when when it was absolutely sopping. We had to walk to the athlete's village, I guess you would call it. And the rain was so bad, they were going to put like a physio tent up, but they didn't. They just let everybody go in this tent. And then, by the time, I didn't even think. I was wearing my running shoes and my running socks and they were soaked. So I started it with sopping wet feet. The only positive was my feet were numb. I couldn't really feel them while I was running. And my nipples were cut to shreds. So when I got back and showered, took my top off, my nipples were bleeding.
Oh!
But because I was so wet and so cold, I hadn't noticed. So I'm kind of almost thankful.
Well, there you go.
Because I can't imagine I don't know if you've ever run so much your nipples have hurt, but it's not.
I think you know full well I've never run so much my nipples have hurt.
It's not pleasant. So I'm very thankful for the rain.
That for me, I don't think I've run even close to that amount, but I also feel like when my nipples started to hurt even a little bit, that for me would be, that'd be it. I'd be time to call it, sit down, take a break, rub my nipples, provided I was in a fairly private area.
Yeah. Well, I had nipple stickers, which I didn't put on because...
Pasties, I believe they're called.
Yes. The tassels were a bit odd, but no, I had that, but I wish I got cream. So running in the rain fucking sucks.
This has been an odd start. The podcast never has a particularly firm start, but this has been an odd start.
It's been a different way of going about it. What have we established so far? We hate rain and my nipples bleed when I run.
Well, good night, everybody.
I was going to actually, did you watch the other day? It's on the BBC. The Monaco thing. They're doing like a series on Monaco. No. It is quite interesting. I was watching it and there was this thing they did. There was this woman, right? And I really hope I don't get arrested. But her official title was the Princess of Bourbon of the Two Sicilies.
One more time for me.
Princess Bourbon of the Two Sicilies. No. Sorry. Princess of the Bourbon of the Two Sicilies, or something like that.
All right.
But anyway, she was putting on this event, and it was Influencer of the Year Award.
Oh, God.
And it got me thinking, what if we got invited to that? What if the podcast suddenly just took off, and there was a panel, because you saw them all choosing who got to go, and they were going through their Instagrams. Imagine if that is just a panel of really, 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 really rich people look at us and go, do you know what?
They are trendsetters.
They should be invited.
What have we influenced? We've influenced nothing.
But it's all about content. Our content's good. Our content's okay.
Our content's all right.
But I was just thinking, could you imagine us in Monaco?
I mean, that would be excellent.
It's whole spread, right? This award thing. And I can just see like you going, where are all the Scotch eggs? We're going up to like the Princess of the Two Sicilies, yeah, asking if she's ever had a Scotch egg or...
Well, I really don't want Scotch eggs to become my signature thing on here. Just as a side note, you remember that astronaut who got known as the corned beef sandwich guy we talked about a couple of episodes ago? I don't want to be the Scotch egg guy from that podcast. But anyway, I've looked her up. Beatrice Marie Caroline Louise Francois is known as Princess Beatrice of Bourbon Two Sicilies.
That's right.
That is a name.
Isn't it? And she hosts the Influence Awards, which I think we can get to.
Well, we'll work our way up to it.
Stay in the Hotel de Paris. That was it, the penthouse in the Hotel de Paris. Do you want to give a guess how much it was for a night?
£5,000.
What do you think the Hotel de Paris is, my friend? It's £40,000 a night.
Oh,
that's the penthouse.
Eight times
though.
What I thought.
Yeah, that's the
penthouse. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so I get it.
For a night.
That's a little bit expensive.
Oh, my God.
That's a little bit expensive. So
yeah. It's
okay. We won't stay in the penthouse. It's a nice enough hotel. Why don't we stay?
Yeah, we'll just take a suite.
We'll just take a suite. We'll take a normal twin room, yeah? Is that all right?
Well, I assume it's comped.
Yeah, £15,000.
Oh! That's all right. We'll split it.
Yeah. So the way it works is to be a resident in Monaco. I'm worried. I feel like I've been saying Morocco, or have I been saying Monaco?
In my head, we've been in Monaco this entire time. However, now you've said it, I don't know.
I think I've been saying Morocco.
We have two options here. We power through, or we take this time to record you saying Monaco two or three times, and we try and splice it together.
I'm not doing that. We'll stay in.
The editing is rickety enough as it is.
Yeah, it's fine. I was talking about Monaco this whole time. If anyone was like, "Oh my god, influencer awards in Morocco," it's Monaco.
You know, we're going to listen to this back, and you'll have said Monaco every single time.
Yeah, and it's been a huge waste of time. But to be a resident there, so not a citizen. A citizen is someone who's grown up there. Family, to be a resident there, you must have £500,000. You must be able to access £500,000 at all times.
Okay. So that's not a small amount of money to just... Not just do you have to have it, it has to be spare.
Yeah, you must be... If they were like, show us your bank account, it must have £500,000.
Fucking hell. Speaking of finances, I did my credit score yesterday.
How bad is it?
Pretty good. It's a pretty good credit score, all things considered.
That is good.
Wow.
Whoa! How was your credit score, bro?
Oh my god. Considering this is our ninth episode, you think we would have... we would have had more. You realise that the episode after this is our 10th episode. It's the end of our first so-called season of the Last Call podcast.
Jeez.
It's the series finale next week.
God, we need to prepare something.
Yeah, we really do. Speaking of preparing things, this is a reminder to all of our listeners. We're not saying you forgot. We're just reminding you. Sunday is Father's Day.
Oh, shit. We haven't got our...
Now, hang on. We're recording this on a Friday, so the Sunday that's coming up for us is not Father's Day. But we release on Monday, so the Sunday that's coming up for the people listening to this is Father's Day.
No, what?
Yeah.
I thought it was Father's Day this weekend.
Nope.
It was next weekend. Oh, that's fine then.
Yeah, bags time. I got some ideas knocking around. But our dad listens to this podcast, so...
Again.
I'm not about to spill them on here.
I'll throw it back to me gaming a lot with my squad on Modern Warfare.
Okay.
Gamer rage. I've been really analysing this recently because I rage a lot at games. And
yep, me too.
You know, I'll admit it's one of my faults among many. And I'm just trying to work out why. Like, especially online multiplayer, you think you get sort of killed by someone, you get super angry at them, but you sort of think, oh, if I was in the same situation, I would have done the same thing.
See, the thing is, my gamer rage is worse offline on single-player games. For it happens in multiplayer. I still have the rage, but I can, in my head, be like, ah, well, whoever just shot me in the face was probably like a master at this, so yeah, I get it. But it's when the computer beats me, when I'm playing a game and some program computer slices my head off. My move at the moment, because I play with my girlfriend, she actually enjoys watching me play Assassin's Creed. She's been with me every step of the way. Doesn't like my temper, as you can imagine. So my move at the moment is, as soon as I feel the game rage, just turn it off.
See, this is the problem, right? They don't get it. People who don't game hard.
Non-gamers.
Yeah. They don't get it. They can't understand why they get angry. I mean, what's the worst rage you've ever had, would you say? What was your reaction?
I don't know. My thing with Gamer Age is it never leads to anything.
Okay.
I'll always do the first bit. Like, I've never thrown my controller at the TV, but I've held my controller like I'm about to throw it at the TV. My big thing at the moment is I get annoyed and I'll try and snap the controller in half, which I know I can't. I know I can't do that. It's a big bulky bit of plastic. I know I'm not going to be able to do that, but something very satisfying about...
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I have thrown my controller... Because I get quite angry, but I am.
I've thrown it at other chairs or sofas.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
You don't want to be that guy who smashes his TV.
That I am going to regret it if one, I smash the controller, or two, I smash the TV. So I aim for soft things, but I have. I did throw.
Which takes the rage out of it a little bit.
Yeah, when it just. You throw it with such force and then it just. Okay. I did throw it once at my bed and I forgot I had my headphones plugged into it, so it ripped my headphones and broke my headphones. So I ended up having to get another pair of headphones. I see what's super frustrating. So as you know, I'm also an avid sim racer.
It's come up on the podcast a couple of times.
So I play a lot of F1 online, and that is the most ridiculous thing ever. So if you go into an unranked race and say damage is on, so damage to the car is on, you could be knocked out in the first lap. So you could get taken off, terminal damage, that's it. To make sure your XP doesn't drop, or your skill rating or your safety rating, you then have to sit there until the race finishes, which is kind of okay if you're doing a 5-lap race, but if you're doing a 25% full distance race, which is about 15 laps, you have to sit there for the whole thing.
Yeah, that I could see that being very annoying.
And the person that fucking knocked you off is still racing. That's what pisses me off. And actually, Tiny 1974, if you're listening, fuck you, bro. Like, seriously, I was racing once and I got spun off and I had to go into the pits, change a tire, front wing, whatever. So I was right at the back. Okay, and when people are playing, they're mic'd up. And he was mic'd up, and he's a fucking twat. And I was trying to race. And the problem with the whole being people talking is that you'll be racing, and someone will just suddenly scream. And you'll sort of be like, oh my God, what the fuck was that? And he was like, obviously having a bit of trouble with someone else. And he was like, oh, fuck off, you twat. And again, you twat. Fuck off, you prick. And I nearly flipped my mic down, but I didn't want to be that guy. But I nearly flipped it down. I was like, dude, shut the fuck up. Other people are racing. Then we went into the next race, and I won. I beat him. And then the third race, he was obviously fucking bitter about it, just came and wiped me out. And so, Tiny 1974, I'm guessing your name is Tony, and you were born in 1974, go fuck yourself. I hate you. Why bother playing the game if you're just going to play like that? I absolutely hate you.
Born in 1974, doesn't that make him 46?
Yes!
I can see this topic is bringing out the rage in you already.
Yeah, it really is. And I just want to let people...
You got a real, like, mugged off look on your face.
Some of the people you... Like, I can't believe some of the things I hear in a game chat. Like, it's ridiculous. There was one guy who I genuinely thought might have been your housemate, Tom.
Go on.
Because he was on the mic, and he was just... He sounded like him, for starters, and he wasn't having a good game. And he was just really apologetic to the rest of the team. He's like, oh,
that sounds like Tom.
Yeah, he's like, I'm really sorry, guys.
Not that having a bad game, but the gentlemanly.
Yeah, really sorry, guys. This can go well for me. So I need to get more balls, though. I need to get on the mic more. Because that's the other thing. Everybody fucking hides behind the mic.
You can't be nice. You can't be nice on game chats. There's no point trying to be nice. It's not that kind of forum.
I'm hot and heavy now.
Well, I know what might help you relax. You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah, I thought you were going to play the theme tune.
I thought I might let you attempt another lead-in.
Oh, another segue. Yeah, I can do that.
I thought you might do another segue. And I should point out, before I let you do this segue, we have some new music.
Do we?
We do. We do. If you cue it up, I'll play it, and then I'll tell you a little bit about where we got it from.
Okay.
Oh my God, why do I ask you to do segues?
Hold on. I'll get you something.
You're so bad at these.
If there was a dude crouched next to a vehicle, you'd say there's a male behind the bar. No, I fucked that up! Fuck! Let me do that again.
All right. This is... this is not what a segue is, but go on.
If there was a dude crouched next to a vehicle, you say there's a male behind the car. It's time for Tales Behind the Bar. That was
jazzy.
That was awesome. What a vibe.
That was great. That comes in from Josh over at the Media Music Podcast, who threw that together for us. Thank you so much for that. And if you want to check out more of his stuff and his podcast, you can follow him on Twitter at Media Music Pod, or check out the website, the-media-music-podcast.simplecast.com.
Amazing. I wish I'd given it a better segue now.
We haven't had a new jingle in a while. So now we've got two to choose from. We've got Chris's.
And then we've got
Josh's.
Josh as well. And mine.
Yes, and yours. Let me see if I can find yours.
Tales from behind the bar. I bet you're wondering what they are. Tales from behind the bar. Don't wonder anymore, because here they are. Tales from behind the bar. Wondering what they are. Yeah, it's okay. People get it.
Tales from behind the bar. People don't want to listen to the whole thing all the way through?
Don't wonder anymore, because here they are.
It's not even for the bass solo that's coming up.
Bum, 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 okay, bum, level bum, with me. Bum, bum, I think that's bum, quite bum, a good. Bum, 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 I think that's not bad. That's coming from my mouth. Bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum. I know that's coming from your mouth.
Don't you think that sounds like clear. Slap bass?
It doesn't not sound like slap bass.
I came up with that, not the slap bass thing, that was completely improv'd, but the Tales from Either Bar, I came up with that in the shower.
Well, there you go. I think Chris and Josh have done a better job of producing music for the podcast.
Definitely, but would I argue that I laid the groundwork? Probably.
If you say so. Are you ready for some tales?
Always.
Our first one this week comes from Black Flag Forever. He says, my favourite bar story is when a guy tried the old turn a bottle into a weapon by breaking it on the bar trick. He winds up shattering the bottle and cutting his hand. I still had to break up a fight, but it was pretty funny as far as bar fights go. The fight started over one calling the other stupid. The guy said something like, yeah, do you think this is stupid? And that was when he tried breaking the tip of his bottle off, like they do in old cowboy movies.
Was this you? This sounds like something you would do.
No, that's actually something I've never done. I'd be lying if I said I've never wielded a bottle, but I've never smashed it on the bar to create the...
All I'm seeing is a dude that, like, says, oh, you think that's stupid? You think this is stupid? Smashes the bottle, cuts his hand, but then completely forgets about the fight and is just like, ah!
Oh, stupid am I? Well, let me tell you, tell me if this is stupid. Ah!
Help me! Help!
Help! Help! Call an ambulance!
Oh man, that's insane. I imagine that
you
happens
feel a mug.
Quite a lot.
I think I don't.
I don't.
I don't know
how
glassing
you can...
someone is kind of a it's a traditional bar fight maneuver, but I don't think it works like people think it does. It's also it's. So much more dangerous than people think.
Mm.
Like that's not a fight weapon. That is a kill someone weapon.
It's a murder weapon.
You smash. You've got a jagged. I mean, it's good deterrent. If I was getting into a fight with someone and they smashed a bottle, and I didn't have anything, I'd be like, okay, I guess you've won this one.
I also don't
on the basis that I don't want my jugular slit.
I also don't. I think when people smash bottles over people's heads. I think that's more a movie thing. I think 9 times out of 10, if you try to smash a bottle over someone's head, it wouldn't break.
It wouldn't work. Yeah.
Because I've dropped bottles, like beer bottles, on concrete and they haven't even smashed.
You'd have to, with a bit of force.
Yeah, but even then, like, to hit them that hard, you'd be hitting them basically with a blunt instrument. I just don't think it would smash. I think it could smash, and I think it's completely possible.
We all agree bottles could smash. No one's disputing that for a second.
But I don't think... I think if you were to hit someone over the head with a bottle, I think very rarely it would smash. But that doesn't mean go out and try it.
No, don't try that at home or anywhere else. I've got our next one here. Comes in from Anonymous. More and more people who submit tales via the website take the option to remain anonymous with less and less crazy nicknames.
Which is a shame.
It is a shame. We like a crazy nickname. This one from Anonymous says, to earn extra money, I sometimes helped out behind the bar at a posh country house which did weddings.
Oh, lovely.
It's another wedding story. One weekend, when a wedding was on, lunch was finished, and the guests were relaxing. This young lad came up to the bar that I was serving behind and ordered an expensive whiskey. When I asked him to pay, he just said, stick it on the tap, which I then opened. Lots of other guests then did the same. Later that afternoon, my manager came to check on me and how much I'd taken. Said I'd been really busy with guests and the tab was already £560. We can all see where this is going. Have you guessed the twist? He continues, my manager flipped at me for this wedding, there was no tab, no free bar, and the guests were supposed to pay. The host refused to pay the tab, and I had to pay the tab off out of my wages. I hate weddings.
At the risk of doing the same thing after the bottle story, that's you. You've done that. You opened a tab you weren't supposed to open.
I did. I cannot imagine that that's me. That must... Because I was the guy, in my version of the story, I was the guy who ordered the whiskey and started the tap.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
At our cousin's wedding several years ago, it would be very coincidental for the bartender who was working our cousin's wedding, which was not local to us, to listen to our podcast and send that story in without realizing. But no, I did. It was our cousin's wedding and I assumed it was a free bar. And I don't think it was that there wasn't a free bar. I don't know what was going on, but all I know is the reception had been in full swing and it had been very lovely, and I went to the bar and I ordered an expensive whiskey.
Your second, because they came round to the tables when we had just sat down for dinner.
Oh, and they're like,
can I get you any drinks? There was wine on the table. They were like, can you get any drinks? And I think everybody did order a drink. But when I say people order drinks, I had a Guinness. People had gin and tonics, cocktails. You ordered a double of what I can only assume was the most expensive whiskey they had.
I don't think I specified the most expensive you had. I just said a nice single malt. And I think...
Yeah.
I think it was Dalwhinnie.
Yeah. It's a
very nice single malt scotch.
I think that...
I can't remember. The point is that I then later went up to the bar and ordered my second one. Yeah. And assumed there was a tab running and said, stick it on the tab. And then we later found out.
The drinks that they ordered when we were at the table, they were complimentary. I really don't think there was supposed to be a tab. And you were definitely.
I'm not sure either on that one. I've always felt slightly guilty about that. And then you and me ate like 6 or 7 pies each. Do you remember that? We got absolutely wasted.
Yeah. One, everyone did. That was great. Everyone was.
Oh yeah, it was a cracking wedding.
Bottles of wine all over the place, and then they bought out pies at like midnight. So we'd had the three.
We had dinner. We'd had lovely dinner.
We'd had dessert, and then at midnight, just this whole fucking stack of pies, like in little boxes. It was amazing, and we ate a shitload. And I'll tell you why. It's because no one else was right.
Yeah, nobody had any interest in these pies.
And you've got to think that surely that was pre-ordered.
Yeah.
There's no way they're doing, you know, pie by pie. So like, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to eat 6. Because I'm not going to let them.
I felt no guilt. I felt no guilt about the pies. I did feel guilty about the ordering the second whiskey when it became apparent that wasn't how it worked. But at the same time, there is always the assumption of a free bar at a wedding. And if there's not a free bar, that's fine. But it is up to the host to make that clear.
Yeah. I remember.
You don't have to
I
come out on the mic and be like, there is no free bar. Yeah.
Everybody. Just to let you know, there is no free bar, and
but you could say something along the lines of, enjoy a complimentary drink, there's plenty of wine on the tables, and once that runs out, feel free to grab yourself something from the bar.
Do you remember?
And pay for it.
When we were at the church, we were the last to come out of the church, and you didn't have a pop, but I remember you sort of slapped me, because we were stood there with the groom's brother. And I turned to the groom's brother and went, and who I've never met until this point. And I went, do you know if it's a free bar? And then you kind of hit me on the arm and went, you can't, don't ask that. You can't ask that.
Mm.
2 hours later, you're opening the tab.
Yeah, there you go. That's the thing, is you assume it's a free bar unless you're told otherwise.
Well, I just thought of all the people. I thought he would know. Do you know what's even worse? Is I said, do you know if it's a free bar? Didn't say anything to me.
Blank. I didn't. Well, it's probably because he thought we were the cleaners. Because
yeah.
We were sweeping up. This is a whole nother story.
Yeah, he probably this thought we weren't going to be at the reception.
this is a beautiful wedding in this wonderful church, and everyone was dressed to the nines. The bride and groom looked lovely. The only piece of the puzzle that was missing is they didn't have anyone to throw the flowers on the floor.
Yeah, because all the babies.
I believe
were
the technical term. Is a flower girl, I believe, at a wedding.
Or boy.
And it fell on us, two grown men, to sprinkle the flowers down the aisle, which we were honoured to do.
Yeah.
We were very happy to do. And it was quite a nice moment, and everyone acknowledged that this is a job normally done by younger people, and these are the two adults there. And it was... We didn't roll around laughing about it. We shared a wry awareness of the situation.
It's hard, though. You've got to get those ratio. You've got to get an even spread.
You go balls to the wall at the first bit, and you're out of flowers.
Yeah, you're out of flowers. Plus, you've got the risk of the bride slipping.
Yeah, you've got to distribute them evenly.
You don't want to be the one that wants to get all that stuff caught in her train, because then she'll just have bits of petals falling out of her train all day, or dress.
It was a lot of responsibility to be thrust upon us at the last minute, but like the heroes that we are, we respectfully...
the great improvisers.
Agreed to do it.
Yep.
However, everyone then leaves the church. The bride and groom are off in a beautiful classic car to go and enjoy a little picnic, now newly married, and then meet at the reception. Everybody's leaving the church. We're a couple of the last people to leave, and we're stopped and handed brooms, and we've got to sweep the fucking flowers up.
Yeah, I know.
Well, if you don't want flowers all over the place, don't ask me to throw...
Yeah.
They asked us to make a mess. And then we had to clean it up.
Like, it was our idea. Like, we'd walked in there and go...
The flowers weren't our idea, yeah, I'll be honest. It's like, I don't know enough about wedding traditions to have noticed if there weren't flowers.
I now know that
I wouldn't have been sat
there
like, where are the flowers on the floor?
Yeah, I now don't want petals at my wedding for that very reason. But yeah, it was exactly it. It was like, it was our idea. We walked in there and was like, do you know what this is missing? A mess. And
a
then
mess.
Just fucking... threw petals everywhere, and then when we tried to leave, they went, where on earth do you think you...
And just handed us a fucking broom! Oh! Oh! Don't pull that kind of stunt and then hand me a broom, for starters, because you're irritating me, and then you're giving me a weapon.
Yeah.
However, it was our cousin's special day, and she looked very happy.
Yeah.
And this bloke that she found to marry turned out to be alright, I suppose. Tolerable.
Just came across him.
Hey, he's all right.
He did let us drive the classic car.
That was the moment I think we knew that we were going to get on with David absolutely fine. Because we'd already warmed to him. We already liked the guy. And then for him to just be clearly too drunk to be making any decisions, to just toss us the keys to this classic car and go take it for a spin.
I remember it very vividly. I remember we had waited. I remember we had waited so long because there were a few kids there and they all wanted photos in the car and they were chilling. And, you know, you can never be that guy that's like, can the kids get out now? So I remember when
they... Hey, Tiny!
Yeah.
Come back when you're old enough to drive.
Out of the car. I remember when they finally got out of the car and you and me both kind of leapt in like we couldn't believe it. We were like, oh my God, we're in. It was a classic Morgan. Like, oh my God, we're in. And I remember David sort of wanders past and we're like, hey man, what a cool car. To be fair, we were 2-3 champagne flutes in.
I think that's being generous.
Oh, really? Well,
yes.
He sort of walked past me like, hey man, great, such a cool car. Really awesome. And he just threw us the key and he was like, take it for a spin. And we were like, what? And obviously, and he's like, he's like, yeah, yeah, obviously don't take it on the road because you're not insured. It was the reception was on this bigger private estate. And we were like, David?
David?
Are you sure about this? And he's like, yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. And we're like, David, you were there and you're like, I'm putting the key in the ignition.
I was like, I'm going to turn it on now. And he's like, yes. And he sort of wandered off. And I remember we both sort of looked at each other, turned it on, and then started reversing. And the best part was I had only just started learning to drive. So I didn't have a license. And we backed it out. And I remember we backed it out and we were just about to take off to the long drive. And I remember someone must have said, the two boys have just taken the Morgan. And I remember both Mum and Anne were like, neither of them have licenses. And I remember
we were hijackers.
Yeah.
This is the problem is David hadn't told anyone that he'd given us the keys and the seal of approval.
But as
they just wandered off and got on to enjoy the reception. So everyone turned around and there were just these two. We're taking on a joyride as far as anyone was concerned.
I remember seeing Mum and Aunt just run out as we took off. I remember we just razzed it down this driveway. It was great.
And it was in that moment as he threw us the keys and you could see that he couldn't quite see straight. And he did that reckless act of just giving two uninsured, unlicensed kids the keys to a classic vehicle. Because in that moment, I think we both thought, this guy is one of us.
Yeah, this guy gets us. Thank God we did. But I remember I had to reverse it all the way back.
Because there was no turning circle. Turn it around. Drive. Yeah. Didn't want to go on the road.
So I had to reverse it. And I remember there was ditches either side. And I always think, you know, what would have happened if we just popped it in a ditch?
Well, my problem was, by the time we got back, everybody was so angry that I then didn't get a chance to drive it.
Yes.
I got to be a passenger, and I very much enjoyed it. But we got back, and all hell was waiting for us. And we were there like, David said it was fine, and David had gone. David was nowhere to be found. Like, David said it was okay. David!
They're like, there's no one here called David. And we're like, who was that?
Anyway, we got off track.
Yeah, what was the tale from opening a bar tab? There you go.
That may or may not be a story about something that I did in a bar. And if it is anonymous, then I'm very sorry that you had to pay that tab out of your wages.
Even if it's not, does that mean that the guy at the wedding we went to had to pay it?
I doubt that. All right, moving on. Our final tale this week comes from, all one word, Last Call Podcast number one fan.
Mum?
Whoever you are, Last Call Podcast number one fan, thank you for making that your nickname. Yeah. I appreciate it.
That's great. Thank you so much for listening.
Number one fan, we'll be the judge of that, but thank you.
Oh, don't. Why have you got to do that? Why can't just leave it as it is?
Anyway, Last Call Podcast number one fan says, I once had a guy come running in around 1 p.m. in the afternoon. I've always found 1 p.m. to be in the afternoon, but
there was that one time it was in the morning, and
yeah, it was crazy. Anyway, I once had a guy come running in around 1 p.m. in the afternoon. He ordered a Talisker 10 neat and downed it.
I don't know what
ordered another one, downed it, and paid his tab. As he left, he turned back to me and said, "I was never here." About an hour later, he came in with his wife and approached the bar. Jokingly, I asked if he wanted a whiskey, and his wife said no, he hasn't had a drink in almost a year, and smiled at him very proudly.
Let's see what's happened here.
That's surprisingly depressing.
I think that's a bit silly by her.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think any other person would be like, why is he offering you a whiskey?
That's a good point. Yeah, you walk in, you're like, can I get you a whiskey?
You wouldn't go to the bartender, No, you turn to your husband and be like, why would he offer you a whiskey?
Why does he know you drink whiskey? Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, whatever that guy's doing, he is getting away with it.
Yeah, he's doing well. I mean, to be able to down two whiskeys as well and sort of not, I down two whiskeys and I'm on my face. I do like the idea of him running in, drinking, downing two whiskeys and going, oh, I was never here. I love that. And
you never saw me.
Yeah, exactly. He's gone, I was never here. And then the bartender's just gone, he's walked in and gone, want another whiskey?
Bartender's that's not, blew it.
Yeah, that's not pretending that's not what he that said. He's never here. That's not how you do it.
That's not honouring the code.
You know, you don't shoot someone and go, you didn't see anything. And then when he comes back to the scene of the crime, you go, hey, man, need more bullets? Well, that joke fucking landed, didn't it? Jesus.
I mean, we can cut it out in an effort to try and make your average joke a bit more funny.
I think we're going to have to. I thought that was quite good.
Maybe the listeners will get a kick out of it. We'll leave it in.
I made up a joke the other day, but I can't remember it now.
No, I don't want to hear it. Your jokes are fucking terrible. Because your jokes are bad. I had a great joke. I had a great joke last night.
Well, don't tell me. Because I'm not going to laugh at it. You can't just go in on me and then be like, oh, but I've got a joke for you.
I think you'll like this one. It was quite quick.
Go on, then.
I was in the process of winding my girlfriend up. I don't know why. I just like to annoy her. She was trying to sleep and I was asking stupid questions. And I said, what's your favourite Christmas carol? And she turned over and she was like, I am too tired for this. Can you please just let me sleep? And I said, I haven't heard that one. Oh, she was so annoyed. I can see you trying not to laugh at that. You know, you know in your heart that if you'd said that, you'd be laughing your ass off.
Out of that, I have just thought of a joke.
All right, go ahead. Your jokes are fucking terrible.
If someone asks you, what's your favourite Christmas carol? Just say, maybe Christmas 2012, and don't call me Carol.
That's not bad at all. It's a little twist on the old airplane joke. I like that. Yeah, that's all right. I'll give you that.
Hey!
Well, that just about does it for Tales from Behind the Bar. I think we should do something we don't often do, and wrap up Tales from Behind the Bar with a little music. I'm going to throw it over to Josh again.
That is very good.
Moving on. I have something that I wanted to go through with you.
Mm-hmm.
This got sent to me. I was having a conversation about the weirdest drinks that I've served to people, the weirdest things that people have asked for. And somebody sent me a link to the 20 grossest drink combinations that people often drink.
Yeah.
And I was just going to run through them. There's 20 of them. Number one, coffee and orange juice.
I like a coffee with a glass of orange juice.
Yeah, but not together. Not the same glass. Coke and red wine. Now, this is why it came up, because this is something I've served before. Somebody asked me for a Shiraz and Coke. Their reasoning behind it was you have a white wine spritzer with soda or lemonade, so you have a red wine spritzer with Coke, which kind of makes sense.
But why can't you just put sparkling water in red wine?
Ah, surely that'd be awful. Number three, Pepsi and milk.
Yeah, I've seen this on Twitter. It's like the weird Coke and milk thing. Coke, milk, Coke.
I could pass on that. Yeah, I got Coke and coffee here as well. Coke and lemonade mixed together. That's not too crazy. They're both soft drinks.
That sounds quite nice. Surely that's just lemon Coke.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Iced coffee and lemonade.
Not my vibe.
Grapefruit soda and espresso.
That must be the most bitter bit.
Coffee and tonic water. This is a real thing. I saw it in Cafe Nero. Espresso and tonic.
Is tonic water just soda water?
Soda water with quinine.
So it is different.
It is.
So when my friends have gin and soda water, they're not having gin and tonics.
No, they're having gin and essentially sparkling water. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because I've sort of sat on this for a while now.
And you're glad you got the chance to bring it up.
Yeah, and they always have gin and soda water. And that just gets me. I'm like, why don't you just have it with tonic?
There's one here. Number 9 on the list is beer and lemonade.
That's just a shandy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shandy. I've got no issue with that whatsoever. I love a shandy. However, the superior shandies have ginger beer instead of lemonade. That's something that our dad drinks and I've always enjoyed.
You're on this thing, man. And
good ginger beer shandy.
It's not that good. I think the lemonade one's better.
Nah, ginger beer shandy. Can't beat it.
I don't think ginger beer is actually that nice.
Oh, I'm a fiend for ginger beer. I love it.
I don't really like drinking spice.
I rate ginger beer so much. I drink so much ginger beer. All brands as well. I'm not fussy. I don't care. Old Jamaican, Fevertree, Fentimans. You just throw it at me. Own brand? I don't even care. It's Detroit. Chocolate milk and vodka.
No,
that's a mudslide. No, that's a alcoholic milk. It's called a mudslide, doesn't it?
Don't do that.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, it gets so much worse. Number 12 is horrible. Oh, no.
Don't be like... Don't...
The next one's...
Can we just...
Oh.
Can you just stop yelling for a second?
Sorry, what you had a point to make.
Well, no, I did have a point to make, but you just carried on yelling for ages, and now we're completely past it, so don't worry. What is this drink?
Jägermeister and mayonnaise.
That isn't a drink. Someone's put that up there. Someone has put that up there for a joke.
Apparently, you have it as a shot, a spoonful of mayonnaise, a measure of Jägermeister, stirred. Apparently, it's called the smoker's cough.
I disagree completely.
Yeah, couldn't hate that more. Oh, a cement mixer as well. The Bailey's and lime juice.
It's hard, man. Anything creamy, I struggle with.
All right, here's one. This one is might as well be in a foreign language. Diet Mr. Pibb and Minute Maid Light.
That's a drink from a cartoon.
I have...
Diet Mr. Pibb? Where's that from? That's got to be Kiwi?
I think it's American.
Let me have a look. It's a caffeine drink.
Mr. Pibb? I always thought it was like Dr. Pepper for some reason. I don't know why. I think maybe because it had a title in the top of it. Mr. Pibb and his brother, yeah. Dr. Pepper, much more successful.
What's the other bit to it? It's Diet Mr. Pibb and...
Minute Maid Light, which I think is
lemonade,
isn't it? Isn't Minute Maid lemonade?
Memelade. Yeah, 15 calories, light lemonade. 85% fewer calories than fruit drinks. I thought that said other, but it says so it's not really.
Well, we're really educating people on them. On combinations. I've got, right, the next one I've got here, number 15, I would actually try. It's called a cinnamon roll shooter. It's Fireball cinnamon whiskey topped with cream soda.
No.
I think there's some mileage in that.
There's too much going on there. Cinnamon, cream soda, whiskey, it's too much. It's too much for a drink.
Number 16 is Vodka Diet Coke. I don't know when this article's from, but that is...
Can I just give a shout out to a very good friend of mine who created this really weird drink. I wasn't there for it, but everybody talks about it. A whiskey sour, but with apple juice.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds good.
No! No! You're not supposed to agree. No, well, the
apple
whole...
Juice instead of, apple juice instead of what?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what goes in a whiskey sour.
Lemon juice, sugar, egg whites, whiskey.
That's right. Yeah, apple juice instead of lemon, I think.
I can see it as well as. I'm not sure about instead of.
You are the first.
What are you drinking? With the egg white as well? So you're just drinking whiskey, yeah. Apple juice, and egg white.
Yeah, that backfired horribly. I think you're the only person to ever sort of give time to that drink.
Hey, I respect a little bit of innovation. I got nothing wrong with that.
Well, there you go.
I can't imagine it would taste very good without the lemon in it, and I don't think you can call it a sour, but hey, knock yourself out. Why don't you just have a whiskey and apple juice and save the eggs for breakfast?
That's a very good point.
And then, finally, to finish us up, the tapeworm shot. Vodka, Tabasco, squeeze of mayonnaise.
Why? What's with the condiments going into drinks? What's that about?
Apparently, the mayo squeeze looks like a tapeworm hanging in the shot.
I wish I had a tapeworm.
That is an effective way to lose weight. You can buy them. Did you know that? I think it's illegal, but I think you can buy them from like Mexico or somewhere. Worth thinking about for all you fitness buffs out there.
I didn't know that. That'd be quite good, actually. Well, I'm not going to lie. All those drinks were fucking awful, and I think that was a complete waste of time. I thought that was genuinely awful.
The big one I want to try on there is Fireball Whiskey and Cream Soda. I think that would taste delicious.
Yeah.
Fine, when I get a six-pack of cream soda, I will not invite you round.
Good. I don't want to drink cream soda anymore. I've told you. We've been through this.
We discussed on the podcast. Yeah.
And so I don't eat that. I don't drink that anymore. And I don't eat Kit Kat Chunkies anymore. Because it opens a door that I don't want to a room I don't want to go into.
Custard creams.
Oh my God. Don't.
Oh, I love a custard cream. When you dip it in tea.
No.
And it's a bit soggy. And then.
I honestly can't eat it.
I can eat a pack of custard creams. What happened there? Did you eat like a bumper pack?
I ate a twin pack. So two columns, if you were. And I remember eating that, laying on the sofa, trying to watch Sports Personality of the Year, feeling really sick, and then throwing up what can only be described as custard-looking vomit. Like, it was bright yellow. And from there on out, I've never been able to eat a custard cream.
Trying to think, I don't really have anything that I'm that way with, where I've had so much of it that I can't ever have it again.
Well, consider yourself lucky that you're not one of these people who eat to excess, because that's what I do. I literally eat
I absolutely
until...
eat to excess.
No, but I mean, like,
I'm
to a point where you don't...
pit. Pringles. Can we talk about Pringles for a second?
They're bad, man. They are literally, once you pop, you cannot stop.
They put, once you pop, you can't stop. In their marketing, because they know full well how addictive they are. I think there's something in the flavouring. Nicotine, perhaps. Heroin.
No.
There's something.
No, because then you'd have people jonesing for it. Do you know what I mean?
I'm jonesing for some Pringles right now. Hang on. You know what this calls for? Something this podcast is famous for.
Scotch
across
eggs.
The globe. No, not Scotch eggs. Although I could murder a Scotch egg. Oh, I can murder a Scotch egg.
See, that's,
what are we talking
that's,
about?
That's why you're going to become the Scotch egg guy.
The Scotch egg guy. No, something we are famous for, which is fact-checking as we go. So let me just pop this into my search engine of choice. So I've put... The first two things that come up when you type why are Pringles are, why are Pringles biscuits?
Good question.
The answer to that would be they're not. The second one is, why are Pringles that shape?
That's another good question.
And the third one was not how I was going to phrase my question, but it's how I'm going to go for it. It says, why are Pringles so Moorish? Moorish is one of my favourite words.
Agreed.
Why are Pringles so addictive? Here we go. Ah, metro.co.uk has come to the rescue. They've got a whole article about it. Why are Pringles so addictive and how many potato crisps are in a can? Why do you think they're so addictive?
I don't.
You don't think they're addictive?
No, I don't care.
That is not the spirit.
I think your problem is you're saying they're addictive, but they're not. There's a
Yes,
difference.
they fucking are.
No, there's
There's an
no.
article about why they're so addictive.
Yeah, on the metro. There's a difference between finding some
Way
being
to shit on the metro for no reason.
a There's a difference between being addicted to something and having no self-control.
Well, technically, they're Moorish.
Yeah, they are Moorish.
But they're more Moorish than less Moorish brands, you know? There are less Moorish brands, but a Pringles brand is a more Moorish brand. Does that make sense? Like, Walkers are great, but they're not. Like, Pringles, if that can didn't end, I would just keep going.
People think they're addictive because there are a high amount of people that like them and have no self-control when eating them.
That's a fair point. And to counter that, here's what the Metro has to say.
Oh, brilliant.
Says Pringles were invented in the late 60s.
Oh, that's why. There you go.
There we
Problem
are.
solved.
Problem solved. There we
Yeah.
go. It was in the 60s.
It's a nothing article. Would you like me to ask Alexa?
Yeah, ask Alexa, by all means.
Alexa, why are Pringles so addictive?
I'm not sure.
Exactly. There's no answer.
It says here, and this will put you off Pringles a little bit. Compared to other crisps, Pringles' potato content is on the low side. It's 42% potato. Pringles are a mixture of potato flakes, corn flour, wheat starch, rice flour, mixed with water and preservatives, made into a sludge, rolled into a thin sheet, cut into ovals, pressed into shape, and fried for exactly 11 seconds. But it says here the manufacturers have designed them to be as Moorish as possible, and they contain a list of ingredients to get your taste buds salivating, mainly fat, salt, and sugar. And even if you're not hungry, the human brain is made to seek out fat and sugar, hence the addictive nature of the crisps.
I don't want to admit that we're struggling for content. But
Moving on, McCoys. What's your story?
oh man. Well, there we go. If anybody was wondering.
I think this has been an exceptionally informative podcast. Do you have something positive to end a podcast
No.
on? All right, then. All right. Well, we tried. Ring the bell. Well, depressingly, that is time at the bar.
Time for us to finish our drinks and head home.
If you'd like to keep up to date with what we get up to during the week, you can check out our newly redesigned website, thelastcallpodcast.co.uk.
Don't forget to take your drinks back to the bar. And if you're tiny 1974, who plays F1 2019, I hate you. See you all next week.